Jesus shed blood for us. And every believer in God, every Christian in this house is welcome to partake of this service today. So don't feel bashful that you are not a member at Elmira Church. You're still welcome to partake at the Lord's table with us. Amen? Yes, so feel very welcome. This is God's house and you've made the right choice today to be in God's house here at Elmira. I'm glad I could make it over as well. We already had one communion service this morning over at the Tioga County Church. And then from there on, we head here. And then after this service, I head back there to Tioga Church. Because once a month, on the second Sabbath of each month, we have a whole food, plant-based community dinner where members of the community come out and we enjoy a meal together. So after I leave here, back to Tioga. All roads lead back to Tioga, you know? Yes, and so today's going to be a very sweet and short service. You know, I think we're going to break the record today, Jim, because my message is just a few minutes, you know? Yeah, so we're going to do a record today, Sharon. We're going to do a record. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father and our God in heaven, I thank you so much for your great love, your great mercy. Lord, when we realize what you have done for us, we're just ever so thankful. My heart is filled with praise and thanksgiving. And I know the heart of many people here, if not all, Lord. You are so great. You are so awesome. There is no one who can love us the way you do. And so we just thank you today. We praise you for being the great almighty God who caused the sun to shine, the snow to come, the rain and the wind and the soft breeze. You are the one, Lord, who just keep nature going. Without you, nature could not exist or be in operation. So we thank you for all your laws that govern over nature. We also thank you for the great sacrifice that Jesus made upon Calvary. Because of him we live. Because of Christ we live and move and have our being. So speak to us from your words and just encourage our hearts, Jesus, as each one worship you today. Bless us from heaven. Pour out your blessing upon us. And may every worshiper be drawn closer to you, Jesus. In your holy name we pray. Let everybody say, amen. 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 So my little sermon title today is entitled, No Pity. No Pity. And so I will ask you a few questions. Have you ever been in need of a little pity before? Raise your hand if you have. Been in need of pity. All right, I see some witnesses. Have you ever shown pity to anyone before? All right, I see some witnesses. And a bigger question for you now is, do you sometimes find yourself in need of God's pity? All the time, all right. And now, I'm going to bring it to my focal point today. Do you think there was ever a time when God needed our pity? All right, I see everybody's thinking about that one. The answer is yes, yes. But when God needed just one single human being for some solidarity, there was none. We showed him no pity. And that is our sermon title today, No Pity. Our scripture reading came to us, and thank you, Erica, for reading. In Psalm 69, my sermon title is drawn from verse 20. It says, reproach has broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. While those words originally describe an experience of King David's, they have come to represent the very words of Jesus Christ. You must have heard it by now that Jesus died of a broken heart. Yes? Well, if you have heard before, you're hearing it today. And the question to you is, are you heartbroken for one reason or another? Are you heartbroken? Well, Jesus knows what heartbrokenness is. Not only because he's a sovereign divine God, but also because Jesus himself experienced brokenness. Just think about it. Jesus had no certain place to call home. And as I look around, I don't see one homeless person in this house today. But Jesus had no certain place to call home. He had only a few trusted friends, among whom were three siblings, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. It was at their house that Jesus often got a little sleep. Did you know that? It was at their house that he often got a little sleep. Jesus also had 12 disciples on his inner circle. But one loved money so much that he sold out Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave. Peter, the most ardent spokesman for Christ's cause, broke out into swear words to convince his accusers that he didn't know Jesus Christ. These were the people Jesus had close to him. Talking about high class insult. That's what Peter did to Jesus. There was no one on earth that Christ could count on in his agony. I wonder if he might find someone in Elmira today that he can count on. Yet the world has never before and will never again behold a man with so much love as Christ, walking, teaching, preaching, and healing across the cities of this present world. What did we do to him for all these good works? We cried, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Away with this fellow from the earth!" But we are reminded that God is great. In Christ he loved us, as we should, but never can. Love that suffered, hoped and trusted, when disciples turned and ran. Love that broke through death forever. Praise that loving, living man. But we weren't praising Christ on that day as he hung upon his cross of Calvary, or our cross of Calvary. We should have died there. Did you know that? But Jesus died in our place. There, as though walking a tight rope over the very abyss of the second death, ominous thoughts flooded the mind of Jesus Christ. And I pick up in verse 15 of Psalm 69. The word of God says, "Let not the flood water overflow me, nor let the deep swallow me up. And let not the pit shut its mouth on me. Hear me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good. Turn to me according to the multitude of your tender mercies. And do not hide your face from your servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw near to my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of my enemies. You know my reproach, my shame, and my dishonor. My adversaries are all before you. Reproach has broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. I looked for someone to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. They also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink." When Christ, on our behalf, had drunk the vinegar, the gall, and the dregs of God's wrath, this is what the sacred record spoke of him. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 46. It says, "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Close friends were scarce in Christ's most difficult moment, when he needed some pity. We, collective humanity, showed him no pity. And the question is, doesn't life here on earth sometimes seem that way? When we are in the greatest need of pity, when we need genuine friends the most, often they are few and far between, and many times they are non-existent. While Christ was up on the cross and about to die the second death for us, the great God and Father turned his back upon the awful sight. I want to tell you that even the sun suddenly refused to shine its precious light upon such infamy. How could one like Jesus Christ, so innocent, so loving, have to die such an ignominious death? But though he showed Christ no pity, still he went ahead and he died for us. He died right on time. It was 3 o'clock that Friday afternoon. Yes, my friends, Jesus died right on time. And from then on, we no longer need a sacrificial lamb. From then on, we no longer need a pigeon to kill or a turtle dove. From then on, we no longer need to kill sheep and goat and different animals. From then on, Jesus is our sacrifice. Amen? And by the way, even in death, that Saturday, this Sabbath, Jesus rested on the Sabbath. Yes? But you know, Jesus did not stay dead for long. Amen? For then came that morning. The stone was rolled away. Jesus got up in mighty triumph over death and the grave, over sin and hell. And he cried out, "O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory?" Those are the words recorded in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 55. The God-man Christ needed pity on that old rugged cross, but not anymore. Jesus is back on his throne as the Almighty God. Amen. He needed our pity and empathy back then, but today Jesus deserves our worship and our loyalty. Collectively, we showed him no pity back then, but today, let us individually and collectively humble ourselves and go wash one another's feet. Foot washing is like a mini baptism. And when you do it, pray for one another. Then let's return to the Lord's table with clean hands and pure hearts to partake worthily of the emblems representing the Lord's broken body and spilled blood. As we close this message today, we praise the Father and we praise the Holy Spirit. May they move us from a place where we lack empathy and show no pity. Let us see that Jesus Christ is the center of Bible history, and he ought to be the center of our lives as well. Amen? Amen. Let us take the moment to reflect on his unique divine human nature. Jesus' work includes many roles. We would say in today's terms, he wears many hats. Amen? In John 1 and verse 3, as I close, Jesus is the creator. In John 1 and verse 29, he is the sacrificial lamb. In John 5 and verse 22, he is the judge. In John 14, 1 to 3, he's a returning savior. In John 14 and verse 9, Jesus is the revealer of the Father's character. In John 15, 26, he's the sender of the Holy Spirit, the comforter. In Romans chapter 3, verses 21 to 25, Jesus is the savior. In Romans 6 and verse 23, he's the giver of eternal life. In 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, Jesus is the risen Lord. In 2 Corinthians 5, 21, Jesus is the substitute for sinners dying in our place. In Galatians 3, 10 through 12, Jesus is the curse bearer, taking it away from us and nailing it to his cross. In Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, Jesus is our high priest in the heavenly sanctuary. In 1 John 2 and verse 1, Jesus is a sinner's advocate. He's our defense attorney. And in Revelation chapter 12, verses 9 through to 11, Jesus is the conqueror of Satan. And in Revelation 19, Jesus is a soon coming king. Are you ready to meet him? Amen. He's coming back, and he loves you with an everlasting love. Why don't you give it all to Jesus today? Amen? Amen. Let us pray together. Father and our holy God in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you for the many roles you play, Jesus, in the history of salvation, in the history of redemption, and in the history of humankind. Lord, let your spirit be over us today. Draw us close to you. And as we go now to do the ordinance of humility, where we wash one another's feet, help us each to consider it as a mini baptism. We are purified again in Christ. And then bring us back to the table of the Lord to partake of the emblems. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.